Well, good morning, friends, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kelly S., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Today is Tuesday, September 24th, 2024, and this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Vision for You meeting. Today, we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in We Agnostics, page 48, third paragraph down there at the bottom. Everybody nowadays believes in scores of assumptions just through that one paragraph ending with to illustrate and just commenting on that one paragraph. So today's readers are 12 Steps, Susan G., 12 Traditions, Shelley C.R., Nick F. will be reading our text, Rena L. will be reading page 164, and Danny P. is our backup today. Newcomer greeter is Chris W., and our second hour host is Christine G. The reference numbers for yesterday, Monday, September 23rd, 2024, in case you want to hear those again, 7 a.m. Eastern Time is 21765, 21765, and the 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 21766, 21766. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, quote, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers, end quote. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive eating and can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Susan G. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Susan.
Oh, good morning, Kelly, and good morning, everyone. Susan G., recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous are, step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Step eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you. I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Susan. And now we will have Shelley C.R. read the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Hey, Shelley.
Good morning. Thank you for your service, Kelly. So this is Shelley C.R., compulsive overeater in Minnesota. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, and the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to provide service. I pass.
Well, thanks for your service, Shelley C.R. So here is how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we do ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no absence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. So to share, you'll press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then you'll press star 1 to mute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are still in We Agnostics. We're on page 48, third paragraph near the bottom there. Everybody nowadays believes in scores of assumptions through that paragraph ending with to illustrate, and we'll just be commenting on that one paragraph. And Nick F. will get us started. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, family. I'm Nick F., recovered alcoholic compulsive overeater. Everybody nowadays believes in scores of assumptions for which there is good evidence, but no perfect visual proof. And does not science demonstrate that visual proof is the weakest proof? It is being constantly revealed as mankind studies the material world that outward appearances are not inward reality at all. And I can almost speak for me, when I read this this part about outward appearances and not inward reality at all, I tried so hard to clean up my act from the outside in, and now I'm being changed from the inside out. When I first joined Overeaters Anonymous, I was so ashamed and beaten by the food that I didn't even tell anybody that I had started working this program. But being over 400 pounds, wearing a 5X, when I started losing the weight, I'm sorry, I'm kind of getting emotional. You know, people started asking me. I wasn't trying to impress anybody anymore. It was no longer about a degree. It was no longer about my marital status. It was no longer about any outside appearance. I just wanted to be healed. I was hurting. Food was whooping my ass on a daily, minute-by-minute basis. I just wanted to die. And, I don't understand everything that's in this book, but I know for a fact a power greater than myself has changed, rearranged, and transformed how I handle food. I don't have a slight problem with food. I don't have a minor irritation. I am an addict. Food was my guide, and I had to become willing. I turned over everything. And I just prayed, God, please help me. I couldn't even say God back then. I was so full of hate, you know. But now I can say, Jesus, Lord, please help me. And, I've given away over 250 pounds and kept it off for the last 3.5 years. And I did see a nutritionist, you know, according to my new sponsor, asked me to go back and see a nutritionist. And I did that. And they gave me this number. I didn't even care about a number, you know. So this one thought that's been rolling in my head that I heard somebody say, and I keep hearing them say it, and I don't know why. It said abstinence is not the most important thing in my life. It said God is the most important thing in my life. And so I call this power God today because this power has changed my heart. It has changed my relationships. Y'all, I got custody of my two kids back, not in my sobriety, but in my abstinence. And I'm praying, Lord, teach me how to be a good mother. Teach me how to be a good person. Teach me how to be a good human. My life has been spared. I'm no longer getting my ass kicked by food today. You know, I got an amazing sponsor. I couldn't pick a sponsor. Something on the outside of me, but it's really on the inside of me, right? But it's finally, I'm getting these outside results. I can wear a fucking small from a 5X and a 6X to a small. My life has been changed. Yes, it comes in a number because I needed it to come in a number. It wouldn't make sense to still be 400 pounds 3 years later. God had and needed to do that for me. And so I just really, I bless the power that's in this book. I bless the people who
that's
give
service
on this line. And just with that, I pass. Thank you, family.
Thank you so much, Nick, for the share and getting us started. Okay, so we're now going to open up the meeting for sharing. And although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you shared last Friday or yesterday on any vision meeting, please step back and let others share. Also, keep your shares to 3 minutes. I'll remind you when time is up. Please give me your first name, initial of your last, and where you're calling from. I'm ready.
Elena C.
Katie G.
Melissa.
From Boston.
Melissa C.
Katie. Melissa.
Elena C.
Gotcha, Elena. Gotcha, Katie. Gotcha, Melissa. Dang, all three of you at once, but now nobody. Got lots of room, guys. Okay, well, let's get started on these three, and y'all can think about it. Good time to step up. So let's go with Elena C., Katie G., then Melissa C. Good morning, Elena.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, moderator. Thank you so much, Rita, for your passion. I heard the passion in your voice. I hear my own passion. I hear everybody's passion here. We are so fortunate because passion means God to me. You know, and this paragraph reminds me of my condition. My condition was, and it can still be at times, that I look at something and I see it, and then I can make a conclusion. And then I can kind of draw, I can describe it, you know, and it's not. It's so much more deeper than that. It's whatever I see in the world with my eyes, it's beautiful and it's concrete. But there's so much more that it's under the surface that I do not see. And that, you know, growing towards my higher power, growing towards just growing in general, meaning that I can just pause and I can kind of stay with it and I can just observe deeper, observe those layers of that are unseen, because there's so much more to everything that's inside of me, everything that's outside of me, than just what I see. It's about how I feel. It's about what I sense. It's about God, isn't it? Because I was an agnostic, and, you know, I was agnostic, like I believe, and then I'm like, I doubted. I doubted because I needed proof. I needed proof in my life to know that God exists, because my proof was, you know, God took my sister away, and that's God, why did you do that? You know, damn you. And the thing is, there's so much more than that. And God, I doubted God because I did not like things that happened to me. You know, that's why I doubted God. But when things happen to me miraculous, oh, hi, God. No, that's not it at all. And challenges in this life are needed for me to get the gift and get closer to God. You know, and if there wouldn't be challenges, I would not grow. And those challenges and the gift are something that you can't see right away. You can just have to pause. you have to pause, I have to pause, and kind of deeply search within me and outside of me, deeply search deeply. And that's God. And I'm very grateful that I can say that, and I've been exposed to all of you and to this book. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Elena, where are you calling from? It's one of the Carolinas, isn't it? Elena?
Oh, sorry about that. Elena C. recovered from Greenville, South Carolina.
Gotcha. All right, perfect. All right, next we have Katie G. followed by Melissa C. Hey, Katie, good morning.
Hey, Kelly, thanks for taking the meeting. Good morning, everyone. Katie G., recovered compulsive eater in Boston. You know, the biggest lie I told myself from the time I was a little girl is if I had what you had, I wouldn't feel the way I feel. And what do I mean by that? I didn't feel fundamentally that my family looked or was the way I needed it to be or the way yours was. And when I looked at people who were thin, when I looked at people who had a mom and a dad and a house and all the things that I wanted, I judged my insides that felt empty by other people's outsides. And I used it as an excuse to hurt myself with food. Because if I couldn't get what I thought you had, then I would be miserable. You know, and it's the same thing that they're talking about. Like a lot of times people talk about a cell phone. So cell phones operate on what? Radio frequency, I think. You can correct me. I can't see radio frequency, right? But my cell phone still works. And so for whatever reason with God, I remember getting on my knees when I was a little girl and I was like, if you really work, if you really work, if you really work, please just clean my house like Mary Poppins. And I stood up and I wasn't Mary Poppins. And so there was no reason to believe in God. But I have to tell you, like, even in a thin body, like, I have to be careful of dismissing compulsive eaters dismissing people who look a certain way and assuming they're compulsive eaters. Like I might look at an overweight person and think, oh, they need Overeaters Anonymous. Maybe, maybe not. I have no idea. Outward appearances are not inward reality at all. I don't know. And you could look at me, right, and meet me and say, oh, she's never had a problem with food, but that's not true, right? I'm an anorexic, bulimic, compulsive eater. And what has happened to me as the result of working the steps is that outward appearances have become my inward reality. When I see a compulsive eater, when I look into their eyes, yes, their body is a normal size, whatever the heck normal means, right? Their body is in an average size, I'll say. But the way I know they're recovered is looking in their eyes, right? Like, I don't have to be somebody I think you need me to be in order to be okay. Right, like I just can be me. And I have had a transformation of mind, body, and spirit where I don't have to perform. And my outward appearances can be my inward appearances because you know what? With God, it's okay to be me. And so I'm so grateful to have this program. I'm so grateful to be recovered one day at a time. And I can't wait to hear what everyone else has to share.
Thank you so much, Katie G. from Boston, Mass. Next up, Melissa C. Hey, Melissa.
Hey, Kelly. Good morning. Thanks so much for your service this morning. My name is Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York. And, you know, for me, when I read this, I think about even just walking into the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous. That was almost like preposterous in one sense. It was... you know, I was walking into a place of people who were, you know, for the very first time, strangers to me, hoping that they were going to offer me some kind of solution. And by the way, when I first went there, all I knew was that I was in trouble. Like, I was in deep trouble, and I didn't know anybody's particular story yet. And then I did look at other people, and there was some visual evidence, you know, and that was one of my first things that drew me in. But my own necessity to say, like, okay, maybe there is a God, you know, which was really where I started. Like, okay, maybe there really is. Maybe everything I've been thinking about God is wrong, is backwards, is upside down. Well, that came when I took a first step for reality. And I have a belief that, you know, when one step is done thoroughly, completely, you know, totally, my foot has a natural inclination to put it on the next step. And that's really has been my experience. So when I was crushed by my eating and by my inability to control it, my unmanageability, I had no other options left. It was like I'm going to believe in something I don't really see, or I'm not, you know, or I'm going to go back to the food. And that was really where it began for me. You know, I think about like visual evidence, how, you know, I've had experiences in my life where my world fell apart. You know, I've had those experiences where everything fell apart for me, and the message that I was brought up with, lovingly, people loved me. They didn't know any better, you know, was put your lipstick on, girl, and go forward, because outward appearances mean everything. Make sure you're showing up. Don't miss work. Don't let people see you cry. Get your shit together. Hold it together. And internally, I was the biggest mess in the world. And, you know, today, I'm walking through another difficult period of my life. It's called life, right? And although I'm not concerned with my outward appearance, I cry when it's appropriate. I ask for help. I allow other people to see me looking perhaps like I'm falling apart maybe at moments, but I am not. And that's like, that to me is mind-blowing because I, you know why I believe in God? God consistently is showing up for me. Every time I have the humility to say, help me, I'm struggling here, this is hard, I get strength.
That's fine, Melissa.
Thank you. I get resources and I get people to guide me through. Whoop. And so I'm a believer. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Melissa C. Okay, guys. We are in We Agnostics, page 48, third paragraph. Everybody nowadays believes in scores of assumptions through that one paragraph. Who would like to share that hasn't shared in the last 3 days?
Laura L. from Connecticut.
Laura L.
Laurel B. Kristen P., Georgia.
Laurel, was there a Laurel B.?
Yes.
Okay. And who else is after Laurel?
Kristen P. from Georgia.
Kristen P.
NWH.
NWH.
Justin C., North Carolina.
Justin C.
Sherry A.
Sherry A. Anybody else? All right. Well, let's all press star one to mute our phones again. A little background noise. We'll get started with Laura L., followed by Laurel C. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning. Thank you, everybody, for your service, and good morning, Monday morning, to everyone. I'm Laura, compulsive overeater, food addict, bulimic, and just really grateful for this meeting every morning. Thank you. So what I think when I read this paragraph is just how much I struggled my first 5 years in program because I didn't really have faith. I was an atheist and I wanted to believe, but I just couldn't believe what I couldn't see. And that's sort of how my whole beginning of my life was. I just couldn't believe what I couldn't see. And I couldn't see God. And somehow I went through the steps, but it wasn't real. It didn't work because I just couldn't wrap my mind around it. So why this, and then of course, I struggled with the food a lot. Why this paragraph really helped, and as does the chapter in We Agnostics, is because what I realized is it was what I couldn't see that was visible in other ways. For instance, love. I can't see love, but I can see love demonstrated. I can feel love. I can see. How love manifests in others and in myself, between people. I can see I can't see passion, but I can feel it, and I can feel others and see others. I can't see miracles, really. That word miracle, it's like there's not a visual, but that miracles are happening to me and to others every single day. And, you know, all of these things, I can't see a soul, but I believe I have a soul, and I believe everybody does, and every living thing does. And so all of these things are invisible, yet they're not, because you can see the demonstration of them, or you can see the manifestation of them, and you can see the beauty, I guess that's a good word, the beauty of them. So all of this, plus just working very hard for many, many years, I've been in program for over 23 years, has gotten me to this place where I do believe, I do question sometimes, and I do doubt sometimes, but I do believe, and I do have the faith that I'm being carried through this life and protected, but also, you know, things that very difficult, very horrible things happen, but I learn through them, and I'm carried through them, and I can trust that I am going to come out the other end and be okay, or the other side, I mean. So anyway, I think that's what I wanted to share today. Thanks, everybody. Have a good day.
Thank you, Laura L. from Connecticut. Next up, we have Laurel B., followed by Kristen P. Hey, Laurel, where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Laurel B. calling from Illinois. Grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, and bulimic. And when I read about this paragraph, one line stands out to me. Outward appearances are not inward reality at all. And I can relate because I was a bulimic and I didn't have a lot of weight to lose, but I was really messed up inside. I just cared about myself and, you know, was out for myself a lot. And now being in recovery, I may not look a lot different, but I want to do God's will today. And I do want to help others and not focus on myself all the time. I want to be there for others, and it gives me great satisfaction to be helpful and to be useful, and that's really important to me where it wasn't important to me before. So I'm just really grateful for this program. I'm grateful for your service and to be on the line today, and with that, I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Laurel B. from Illinois. Next up, we have Kristen P., followed by Ken W.H. Good morning, Kristen.
This is Kristen from Grateful, Recovered, Compulsive Overeater in Georgia. I wanted to share on this morning because I can so identify with the outward appearance. And in my family, when I was growing up as a child, it was always, if you had anything going on, well, if you lose weight, you'll feel better. And so I would, and of course I would gain it back and some, and that was what I did all my life. And then the next thing was, you just need a good husband. You know, down in the South, if you got to be prim and proper, look good, and have a husband, and everything's going to be okay. Well, I did all of that, and it didn't make everything okay. And I love the first share. There was so much gratitude in her share because I could feel it. And, you know, I just get complacent because once I've got a little time, I take things for granted, you know, and the food is not killing me today. And I am so thankful because it was killing me. You know, my sponsor told me that my color was gray when I got there. And I have no idea why, but I think it was because I was spiritually dying and my skin, you know, I don't know, because I didn't eat a lot of junk food. I think it was spiritual. It was crazy. But I'm so grateful to be here and thankful for this meeting. Thanks for letting me share.
Well, thank you so much, Kristen P. from Georgia. Next up, we have Ken W.H., followed by Justin C. Good morning, Ken. Where are you calling from?
Good morning. Thank you. This is Ken W.H., recovered compulsive eater from North Carolina. seeing is believing. I don't think so. Anymore, I even have to question my eyes and be careful because, you know, nowadays with AI, who knows what we're looking at? who knows what I'm looking at? If it's real or not. And I think ultimately that's not the point. Belief is one thing, and that's almost something that takes place in my brain, that I do or don't believe something is true or not true, regardless of what information I get. The issue for me has always been, at deep down inside, is the issue of faith. And that's a whole different ballgame than belief. Do I have faith that something is true indeed? And that has been the key to my recovery and my my abstinence and recovery and well-being today, is that I have faith in the process that's been shown to me. I didn't have that faith. I didn't even have that belief when I came into the program. But it's been over the years. It's been through working steps. It's been talking to people who have had different experiences, things that I've been amazed at. How often do I find myself saying, I can't believe he just did that, or she just said that? Or, you know, I say those, use those words loosely a lot, but the reality is I have the faith to believe that what folk have been telling me in this book and in the 12 steps and through their experiences, that this can happen for me, and it has. And so I ground myself and my recovery in the faith that I have, not only in the program and the blessing of the 12 steps, but in a power greater than myself that has solved my problem with food. And boy, faith is a beautiful thing. So with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Ken W.H. from North Carolina. Next up, Justin C., followed by Sherry A. Hey, Justin.
Hey, everybody. Justin C. from Charlotte, North Carolina, recovered compulsive overeater, you know, just for today, not cured. Thank you all for being here, for your service, and I appreciate so much of what has been shared. I can relate to a lot of it. And you know, what jumped out to me from this paragraph is, visual proof is the weakest proof. And, you know, for the majority of my life, you know, I've been uncomfortable. I've been restless, irritable, and discontent. You know, this is my baseline, you know, natural state. And I've been seeking comfort my entire life. And I can tell you that at some point I came to the conclusion on my own that, you know, validation from others would bring me comfort, and that validation had to come from the outside, and then that would make me feel whole, and it would make me feel comfortable inside. And I have chased that in so many different ways, but no more than trying to be thin. I knew it in my core. If I could just get my body to look the way that I've always wanted it to, that people will see me and they will accept me, and then I will feel comfortable and I can stop this madness, you know. And I brought those ideas into the rooms, you know, when I first came in, and because, you know, I saw the world that way, I assumed that everyone else did too, and so I judged everyone also. Right from the outside, I assumed that how they looked on the outside was how they felt on the inside, and it was a great barrier between, you know, that was sort of the fog between me and getting that connection with God. And boy, this is why, you know, out of all of the kind of bumper sticker mottos in the program, keep coming back, keep coming back, keep coming, because that's what I had to do. I had to keep going back out there and picking up that food and getting burned more and more on a deeper and deeper level and becoming desperate. And
what I want to say is that I'm so grateful for this line because attraction rather than promotion comes through so loudly on this line. I can hear the recovery. I began to cling to some hope of hearing people share these truths about themselves and knowing that turning their life over to God, God being at the center of their lives, not even just abstinence, not just losing weight, but living in the sunlight of the Spirit. And I wanted that. I felt drawn to that. And then as I have done what you all have done, and it has happened for me as well, that has turned to a deep faith. And I am just so thankful. So hope everybody has a great day. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Justin C. from North Carolina. Next up is Sherry A., and then we'll be opening up for some more shares. Good morning, Sherry. Where are you calling from?
Good morning. Calling in from Chicago. May I be heard?
Yes.
Thank you so much, and I'm so grateful to hear the shares and so grateful that this is where we are this morning, exactly where I'm supposed to be, and coming into the rooms. My faith was in a version of history that I couldn't make happen, the version of life where I was thin and where I had all the things I wanted. I felt accepted, and I chased that for a very long time. And thank God, coming into this program, and after 4 or 5 years of struggling to do it my way, hearing somebody who was able to show me when I was ready and desperate what the steps looked like for them. And I'm so grateful to be recovered today. I'm so grateful that one day at a time, food is not a problem, but every single day I wake up an agnostic. Every single day I wake up having the experience of just having to continue to trust this design for living. And the only way I can explain that I am still waking up every day and working these steps and coming here is a power greater than me. And reality is still reality. But I'm just really grateful that this power, that I believe there is a power, and I hear it in all of you. And I see it in the fact that I keep putting one foot in front of the other. And yes, faith is doing the thing. It's following the living, whether or not reality is cooperating with my stories. And so I'm just really grateful and so happy to hear all the recovery on this line. So thank you so much, service.
Well, thanks for your share, Sherry A. from Illinois. All right, guys, so we are on We Agnostics, page 48, third paragraph. Everybody nowadays believes in scores of assumptions on just that one paragraph. So if you didn't share last Friday or yesterday on any vision meeting, we'd love to hear from you. Who'd like to share today?
Monica F.
Monica?
Elaine B. from Massachusetts.
Elaine C.
Karen K.
Karen K.
Francis D. from Michigan.
Francis B.
Pete B.
Pete B. Well, let's just stop there and see how that goes. Everybody will please press star 1 to mute your phone again. We'll get started with Monica, followed by Elaine. Monica, what's the initial of your last name and where are you calling from?
S, as in Smith, and I'm calling from Detroit, Michigan. And I just wanted to say I struggle so much with this chapter, but because I used to be atheist and then I was like agnostic and spiritually agnostic, and now I think I'm just spiritual. And that from hearing the shares that people have made is, and like thinking about the whole comparison to like electricity, oh, you can't see it, you know, because like I'm like, you know, I feel like God or higher power can't be proven or disproven. But and then I was thinking like, but you know, at least somebody can explain electricity. I might not be able to explain it, but somebody can. And then it kind of you know, and then it's like, but nobody on the face of this earth can scientifically prove that there is God or not. And then and then it just kind of clicked to me that the fact that higher power or God or whatever you want to call it cannot be proven is what makes it special. And I do believe in whatever, you know, makes the wind blow, whatever makes the tide rise and fall, whatever makes procreation, like whatever is behind the universe and the science, like that's what I believe in. And I think that that is spiritual. And like somebody said before, like, I don't necessarily like know it to be true. I don't necessarily believe it to be true, but I have faith that it's true because, you know, I've definitely seen I've experienced miracles. I've experienced beauty. I've experienced love. And so I feel like I've really experienced higher power. I've experienced abstinence. I've experienced sobriety. I've experienced so many just awesome things. And, you know, as one person says in these rooms, if higher power were small enough for me to understand, he or she would not be big enough to help me. And so I kind of get it. And so I think the fact that that higher power cannot be explained is what makes it awesome and cool. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks so much for sharing, Monica S. from Michigan. Next up, Elaine C., followed by Karen K. Good morning, Elaine. Where are you calling from?
Oh, good morning. This is Elaine G. from Massachusetts.
Oh,
this meeting has just been so powerful. You know, recovering in this program, it always could see God in the world, you know, in the beauty of the world, because that was with my eyes just looking at it and feeling it. But the love, you know, outward appearances, I can't see any of you. I feel your love coming over these phone waves. That's a miracle. That's such a miracle. So that I can't put any picture. I can put a picture of you because I hear your voice, but I can't see you. There's only one person on this line that I've actually been with face to face to be able to hug and share with. Yet I know you're all there. The love, God is love for me. Love and I'm just looking for words this morning. I'm overwhelmed with the love I feel. My daughter has been saying to me, Mom, all I see is patience. How can you be so patient and so loving? And I said, sweetie, it's God. It isn't me. I was a screamer as a young mom. There were things I did that I'm not proud of at all. But now all my daughter sees is love. That's a miracle. That's all my husband sees is love. That's a miracle. And so I can see that, but I feel it in my heart. And someone mentioned your eyes. And looking at a person and seeing their eyes. Eyes just are our connection to God, our connection to our souls. We see that love. People can smile with their mouth and speak kind words with their mouth. But when you look at eyes, you see the truth. Yet here, I can't see your eyes, but I can feel your truth, feel your love, feel your faith. Outward appearances, inward realities. Oh, yes. Thank you, God, for your love and for your presence. And thank you all who serve and faithfully come to these meetings every day. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Elaine G. from Massachusetts. Next up, Karen K., followed by Francis B. Hey, Karen, where are you calling from?
Good morning. I'm Karen K. from Syracuse, New York, and my prednisone transfer. Definitely qualified to be here. My relationship with God has to have authority over doing a set of dishes here. You know, I'm just looking at these dishes, and what makes me think I can even do that by myself? I need to thank God into every part of my life. The things that are going to be happening today. I know where they're going to be happening today because I need to remember to keep my head where my feet are, keep my head where my feet are, because that is God now. And how I treat myself and how I treat others around me is where God is for me. And you know, I'm doing things differently in my program. I'm working with someone now where I'm not seeing the face. I've always, you know, need to have that Zoom view, you know, of somebody. And, you know, it's not necessary. It means learning to trust in a different way. But I really believe that that's how my God would have it be, because I don't know how we would do this Zoom meeting. There's like probably 400 squares that would be on the meeting, and that would probably be very hard to manage on a daily basis. So I'm just grateful that I know, as it's been said, it's really that simple. God is love, and how would God have me be and to do the next right thing? And then I can have some authority in God's name over my dirty dishes. You guys have a wonderful day. Thank you.
Well, thanks so much, Karen Kay from New York. Next up, Francis B., followed by Pete B. Good morning, Francis. Where are you calling from?
Good morning. Thank you for your service. I'm from Michigan. It's been a long journey for me in terms of developing spiritually. When I first came into OA 40 years ago, I was an agnostic. And that I determined when I was in college, when I read something by Voltaire that said, it's just as stupid to believe in God as to be not believe. And that was my motto for decades. And then I did surrender. And over the years, my spirituality grew. And when I finally had a full relationship, it still took me another 6 years to actually trust that. And I'm very grateful. I'm very grateful that God has given us the 12 steps and have given a clear path as to what we need to do by relying on Him moment by moment. Thank you for all your services. And with that, I pass.
Well, thanks so much, Francis B. from Michigan. Next up, we have Pete B., and after Pete, we'll probably have time for another share. Hey, Pete. Good morning.
Good morning, Kelly. Thank you for taking the meeting. Appreciate your service. My name is Pete B. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy. Good evidence, but no visual proof. You know, we got to remember, we are the good evidence. That's our role. That's our role. You know, the big book talks about demonstrates, it uses the word demonstrate four times. It talks about that we are, essentially, it talks about the fact that we are a demonstration of God's love, God's will, and God's way of life. You know, the only power that a person has, real power, is the power of example. Right, we have to be a good example of what this program says are and says what we can be as a product of the spiritual experience that occurs in working the steps, right? So we're the visual, this is the visual proof fellowship. You know what I mean? Like the way we show up is the way God shows up. It, you know, the power of God is demonstrated through me and everything I do and everything I say in every single moment of every single day, which is why I, you know, for me, I believe it's critical that what I say and the message I carry is consistent with what our literature says and tells us the way we should carry it. Right? Nobody will convince me otherwise. I am where I am right now because of the love and mercy and grace of God Almighty. Remove the merciless obsession that no human power, no new code of morals, no better philosophy of life would be able to produce what I am today. It is because of the love and mercy and grace of God. Right? Now, it's just human nature. It's just human proof. It's just look for a hold in that statement. It's, you know, you would have to look for it. So look, like, why, right? So if I was to say, well, I'm because, you know, now I have a boss, and now I have these things I follow, and these I make, these, and, you know, and this structure I have to have. I walk a free man today. I go where I want, when I want, with who I want. I don't carry shame, guilt, remorse for decisions I made, choices. Program produces. We do the best we can with the evidence that's available to us, and we get to walk free. But we are, in fact, the good evidence. And that bears a lot of responsibility. That's a burden that we must carry. Or
that's fine.
Going back and being good evidence of what happens if you don't do it. And with that, I'll pass.
Well, thanks so much, Pete. Pete B. Can't talk. All right, got time for maybe one or two shares. Who wants to share on the paragraph today that hasn't shared in 3 days?
Erin K. from Michigan.
Erin K.
Alexis in New Jersey.
All right. Erin K., you are up.
Good morning, Kelly. Morning, everybody. It's Erin K. in Michigan, recovered compulsive overeater. Yeah, my like overeducated sciencey brain really struggled with this stuff. And going through this chapter, you know, line by line in detail was so helpful to me. But ultimately, you know, and it's so funny that one of our fellows shared this her thought, and I'm glad she was honest about it. You know, like, sure, I use electricity. I don't really understand it, but someone could explain it, you know, like it's understandable, but this God thing is not. And, you know, cause I've had the same little devil's advocate thought in my own head. And, you know, I think that one of the things that I realized about that was, we only think that someone can fully explain it, but when we get down to the anatomic particle level about like the forces that hold everything together, we have good theories, but you know, I don't know if there's any atomic physicists on the line. You know, this disease doesn't discriminate. Maybe there are, you can call me. I'm in the, you know, you can call me and correct me, but I'm pretty sure that even those explanations are at their heart, just theories. And I think once I embraced, you know, the humility that, like, I don't understand, and I don't need to understand to accept the, you know, the evidence in front of me of all of you that were telling me that there was a better way to do life than the way I was doing it. You know, that food was not the solution to the problems that were owning me. And that there was a spiritual solution, and all I had to do was let go of this questioning and this need to know, and this really what I wanted was a game.
Erin, we lost you.
To experiencing my own. Experiencing my own experience of God. And I'm really grateful for that. So, you know, thanks to everybody that shows up and shares. I'll pass with that.
Well, thank you so much, Erin K. from Michigan. Alexis, you have 2 minutes. Would you like that? Alexis, star one.
Yes, yes, I would. This is Alexis F. from New Jersey. I think God is a little more concrete than that. It's a matter of seeing. And from what I've seen, God exists. I can't create a tree. Only God can do that. I can't create a human body except through procreation. But that's coincides with God. I can't make a lame man walk. I can't make a blind man see. I can't make a deaf man hear. Those are miracles, and miracles are God. When I came into this program, I weighed 300 pounds. Losing over 100 pounds is a miracle for me, because the way I ate and the way I ate sugar, I would have been dead by now. And the way I smoked and the way I drank, I wouldn't have lasted past 35, and I'm 76 now. It's a matter of sight, and you can see the miracles that God has done in people's lives. When I walked into my first OA meeting, I was 30 pounds overweight. I walked in and I said, wow, all these women here are so thin. I'd love to be thin like that. But that wasn't what I stayed for. I stayed for the spirituality because I loved that aspect of the program.
That's kind, Alexis.
Thank you.
Thank you for your share, Alexis from New Jersey. All right, guys. Well, thank you to everyone who shared. Thank you, Team Tuesday, for your service of the month of September. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following. Our share ID for today, September 24th, 2024, 21768. So we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Rena L., will you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Sure. Hi, this is Rena L., recovered compulsive eater from Ohio. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you